Hello, everybody, and welcome to East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob, going to ask a practical question today. Are we going to do Stonehenge?
Are we in danger of being squashed by a dwarf?
We might be.
That would no, we're not going out there. Stonehenge.
When will then be now?
Now.
What are we talking about today, Rob?
Speaking of now, last week you had mentioned that one of the movies you would like to reboot is The Usual Suspects.
I love this movie.
Well, I went a step further. I recast the entire movie using only females in the parts.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second because I think it's somewhat relevant, right? So what are your thoughts on these all-female reboots? It's a reboot. It's essentially some of the same bullet points or relatively the same story in some cases, but the tag is essentially they reboot it with all-female cast. I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. I don't have an issue with it. It doesn't bother me. I don't get into the politics of any of that. But a bit of a mixed bag. I sort of like the Ocean's 11 one. And I think it was Ocean's 8. That was a pretty watchable and decent movie, but I really didn't like the Ghostbuster one. So, you know, this is something that you like. Have you liked what you've seen so far? Is this a trend that we should keep going in Hollywood?
Well, I'm not going to ask for them to recast Magic Mike as all females. So,
That'd be genius. I would love that. They're already doing that on Stars. I think it's called P-Town or something. Genius.
P-Valley.
P-Valley, I'm sorry. you're more in the zeitgeist than I am.
I kind of like it. I mean, the Ghostbusters movie could have been way better than it was. I mean,
but it wasn't the problem of the actresses, right? Like, it was a beautifully cast. I love that group, but the script was garbage.
The story was stupid. Yeah,
it was stupid. Yeah.
The part played by Thor, though, that was probably the best part in the movie.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was so funny. He was objectified in the best ways.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to my recasting.
How do you want to do it? You want me to give you the name and you tell me who the female replacement is? Or do you want to, are you going character for character? Or are we changing the story a little bit?
Well, I'm going by basically the characters with the most screen time. Okay. So we're talking about the five guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
The FBI agent.
That's Stephen Baldwin, Gabriel Byrne, Benicio del Toro, Kevin Pollak, and the wonderful, although now blackballed, rightfully so, Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
And then you have to nail, I would argue you have to nail four parts. The rest of them, you have a little wiggle room. You got to nail Chaz Palminteri's Dave Kuyan, Agent Kuyan. You got to nail Verbal. You got to nail Keaton. And I would argue, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you disagree, you got to nail Pete Postlewaite's Kobayashi, because that's
okay.
Crucial.
Okay. I go by a little different. I go by who I think would be the best in the part, going line by the movie's original script.
And the script was written, by the way, by Chris McQuarrie in the original. It is on my bookshelf. That's how good that movie and that script is. One of the best scripts ever written. He went on to do a bunch of Mission Impossible movies and some crappy MonsterVerse movies, but he's a really good writer.
So as far as I got the five guys, and then I have Kobayashi, I have recast. FBI agent Jack Bear, a recast.
Okay.
Kuyan's recast. Played by Chaz Palminteri in the original, and then the
you
five.
You almost guys. Leave him the same. Let's bring Chaz back.
Well, I went with all women, and
yeah, it makes sense.
All these women have a special part in my heart because I think all of them are extremely sexy in their own ways. So I went with the Spinal Tap sexy. What's wrong with being sexy?
All right, give me the list. Break it down. Let's go.
All right. Stephen Baldwin, and I have to say, what the hell happened to Stephen Baldwin? He was excellent in this movie.
He became a Republican crazy person who, I don't know what he's doing. He bought a bunch of tiki torches. I'm not sure where he's at right now, headspace-wise.
He's no Alec, but anyway.
Who knew that William wasn't going to be the bad Baldwin? I was sure it was going to be Billy. It turns out Stephen went off the rails.
Well, okay. Baldwin played McManus.
Yes.
Okay. And the first thing you see in the movie is the
"Give me the fucking keys, you dirty cocksucker!"
Exactly. I pictured one woman in this part, and only one woman, because I know she's got a filthy mouth.
Okay.
Based from a television show. I put Kat Dennings in this part.
Oh, I like this. From the Thor movies and Two Broke Girls. Strong. Yes. Well played, sir. All right, I accept your first one. You're one for one. Let's see how the batting average goes.
Gabriel Byrne was a little bit older. All right.
Sophisticated. Got to be a little classy.
A little classy, a little sophisticated. He played Keaton. In this role, I placed Julianne Moore.
I like it. I like it. Maybe it's a double. Maybe there could have been a homer there, but I'm gonna allow it. I'm gonna go with it. She's got enough clout. I think it works.
Okay. All right. Fenster. Okay.
Oh, it's a brilliant performance. Okay. But you can't understand anything he's saying.
I put the subtitles on to watch the movie to figure out what he was saying. they do mention this a lot. Speak English. Okay.
All right. So his death was the only one, spoiler there, that was like kind of lackluster to me. It needed to be more. It had an impact. It moved the story forward. But I would have rewrote that a little differently.
Okay. All right. So I didn't go with someone who couldn't speak English because I wasn't gonna put Cardi B in the part.
Sam Hayek. Come on. That's a great. That you would have nailed it.
It probably would have been good. But I wanted someone who was an actress. Okay. I wanted an actress in this part. So I put Rosario Dawson in this part.
Oh, I like it. All right. All right. We're going to give you 3 for 3 on that one. I'm into it. I dig it. She's going to be in Mandalorian season 2. She was on that USA Network show that was pretty good, although I didn't finish it yet. She's got the clout. That's going to work. And she can do something with that part, maybe different than what she's been doing, which I appreciate too.
Oh, exactly. I mean, and she's not bad on the eyes either. So
yeah, she's beautiful. So,
all right. Kevin Pollak. Now I've loved Kevin Pollak forever. I loved him since I first heard him do impersonations of William Shatner as Captain Kirk.
His Christopher Walken. I mean, his genius. You ever seen the Aristocrats documentary about the dirtiest joke of all time? He crushes that movie. Yes. He does the whole joke of Christopher Walken. It makes me laugh. It makes me spit up laugh every time. By the way, great character actor who has been in A Few Good Men, almost Oscar-worthy type performances here and there. I mean, he is a genius, the whole nine yards. He is just really, really brilliant, underrated.
Okay. So I cast this female in this part because I could picture her
Hockney.
Somehow saying the lines that he said in this movie in such a deadpan way.
It's another spoiler, but it's relevant here. He's the fucker that ended up stealing the van that got the whole thing started. You remember that?
Yes. I put in this part Anna Kendrick.
Oh, interesting. All right. I like the makeup of this group. I might have put her in a different part, but all right, I'll allow it. Okay, we're going to roll with that. We'll give you 4 for 4 then.
Okay. All right, verbal. Kaiser Soze.
This is it. This is the big one. This is your Mike Trout.
Kevin Spacey played this part. Okay.
He was so good, and he's such an awful human being. It's unfortunate that I have to go back and watch all the things I liked that he was in and kind of like – you know, just sort of my stomach churns now. But in the moment, and he's still a great actor, aside from all the other stuff, this was an amazing performance.
You may not like this, but I've been in love with this woman for years. Sandra Bullock.
Oh, man. So she was already in the Ocean's 8, and I thought she was very good. She's clearly a Danny Ocean type. She's clearly a leader. You know, obviously a great body of work over the years. Blindside, a movie I wouldn't necessarily be predispositioned to love, was so good, basically because of her powerhouse performance, also Oscar winning, I think. I don't know. I think she might, and I hate to say it, I think she might be a little bit aged out of that part. I think you want to be a tiny bit younger. And I think because she already was in Ocean's 8, it kind of precludes her from jumping into another one. This is the first one because it's such an important role. Maybe I disagree with. Am I allowed to counter on this one? Can I counter
on it? I mean, they could be a flip flop though, because the next person I mulled over this for a bit. The person I really wanted to put in this role, I put in the part of Kujan.
Okay.
All right. And then I'm like, no, I don't think it will work. And then there was other people I had in parts. And I'm like, no, this one's too old, but I still think, you know, he's a beautiful woman. You know, I actually had Helen Mirren in a part, but ooh, I took her out.
She would have been a great Kobayashi. That's
who I had for Kobayashi first.
Yeah, it's a sweet spot.
But I'm looking at the name and I'm going, it's almost a Japanese name. So I switched it for someone who was of Asian descent.
That could work. Yeah.
Okay. So you're not too keen on Sandra Bullock right now.
At the moment,
20%.
I like her more as an Agent Kuyan, to your point there. I think that might work better.
Okay. Agent Kuyan, I had Elizabeth Banks.
Huh. So she's brilliant, and obviously she masterminded the Pitch Perfect movies, and she's got great comic timing, and I've always liked her. She's even had some really good serious roles. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I almost like her as a supporting role or in a different spot there. I'm kind of 50-50 on it. But I like her as part of this cast somewhere in there.
Okay. All right. So right now I'm batting, what, about 646 with my...
Dennings, Moore, Dawson, Kendrick. I got no issues with. I think we're struggling with Verbal Kent, Agent Kuyan, and Kobayashi. So who is your Kobayashi?
Lucy Liu.
Yeah. I like it. You know, I'm not even going to argue with it. I think she nails it. She's got genius comic timing, and I think she's got a complicated sort of demeanor about herself, and I think it works for that part because you got to look at it from two different perspectives come the ending. By the way, I don't want to bury the lead here. This is one of the ultimate twist movies of all time. And I pride myself on figuring out movies. I figured out The Sixth Sense in about 10 minutes, and I ruined it for everybody that went to the movies with me that day, unfortunately.
Damn Wahlberg.
Sorry about that. But The Usual Suspects I did not figure out, and partly because I was so entertained, I wasn't asking myself a lot of questions. Do you change the ending? Do you do a different twist? Is it not Verbal Kent? Is it something else? Who is Kaiser Soze?
You could change it.
Might not be a bad idea.
I'm not going to go all Scooby Doo and have them rip off a face mask and it'd be an old man Withers down at the.
Would have been for those damn kids. We're not touching Lucy Liu. Let's go back over Verbal Kent and Agent Kuyan. Let's negotiate because I know you love Sandra Bullock. Let's put her in the Agent Kuyan role because I think that's a better pocket for her. We've already seen her as an FBI agent in The Heat, which I think was a funny movie, and it worked really well. She can be super kind of like straight man, stone-faced. I dig it. So let's think about Verbal. What if we swap Hockney for Elizabeth Banks and Anna Kendrick for Verbal Kent? And I say that knowing that she is America's sweetheart to a certain degree. She's got that great new show on HBO Max, the Pitch Perfect characters. She's a small, petite, you know, everybody likes her, can sing, got a lot of singing talent, obviously. But maybe we're going to change the story. Maybe it's not Verbal. So it allows her to have a little freedom either way. She could be a little funnier than Kevin Spacey's role was. She doesn't have to be a gimp necessarily with a gimpy leg or whatever like Spacey. And we can do something different with it. I think that would make me happy top to bottom.
Okay. I will go for that. I mean,
and that allows Banks to be a little more edgy in the Hockney role.
Yeah. Well, the people that normally are picked for playing the movies aren't usually the ones that end up being the ones that end up with the role. So
right.
I mean, it's a start. Okay. I get the one part, Giancarlo Esposito, right? Great actor for years.
Underrated, yeah. Doesn't get enough work, unfortunately. She crushes it when she does.
He played FBI agent Jack Bear. Right? Yeah. I had one woman in mind for this part, Eva Mendes. I was just going to put her in there. I didn't care.
I don't think she acts anymore, but that's a no-brainer. She would be a great Kobayashi also. Got a great mysterious look, and I've always liked her. Yeah, I don't know if she would do it, but if she did, I take all the Eva Mendes screen time you'll get me.
God damn it. If we can get her out of retirement, we can get Rick Moranis out of retirement and make Spaceballs 2, The Quest for More Money.
I like it. I'm into it.
There it is.
All right. So that's it. There it is. The Usual Suspects recast. This is a no-brainer. East to West with Nick and Rob's not going to charge you for that. Somebody go and run with that. We want to see that in the movies when the movies open back up again. All right. Good idea. I'm glad we went through that one because I think that deserved a whole segment there because it's actually in my top 25 of all time. Unfortunately, the Kevin Spacey the issues there, and Bryan Singer also, a good director. He's done a lot of movies that I like, also has his own issues. So it's hard to think of, you know, when you think about movies like Good Will Hunting with Miramax and stuff like that, you know, it kind of, I shrug my shoulders a little bit looking back on it. If I see that Miramax title when I put the Blu-ray in or something, I do kind of feel weird about it all. I know myself personally, I can't speak for everybody else. When Man in the Mirror comes on, I change the radio station now, and I love that song. We just got to do the best we can here in life. I think because of that sort of all the sort of baggage that comes along with Singer and definitely Spacey, this movie, even though it's a perfect movie and stands the test of time, it does not need to be touched. Because of the baggage and because of where we are in Hollywood, it is prime and ripe for a reboot. And I think this is a smart one. So I appreciate that thought.
And we're back.
What are we talking about next, Rob?
Well, Nick, you know, what would not be our MO if we didn't talk about sports and the lovely 2020 season of prosperity.
I have a 50-minute segment on Italian soccer. You ready? Tell me when I can start.
Goal!
1-0. Another blowout.
What you got?
All right. So I think today I just wanted to briefly talk about, again, the NFL pretending that everything is normal, but assuming we're going to play along with that. The Chris Jones contract, I think, is relevant. And actually, the rare smart move by the Chiefs, while they still have money in this 2-year sort of in between before this Mahomes, just gigantic contract takes place, they were able to lock up probably their best defensive player to 4 years, $85 million. Is that what you saw? $60 million guaranteed. Pretty crazy. What do you think about that deal just on the surface there? Immediate reaction.
Money-wise and for player-wise, Chris Jones, one of the if not the best defensive tackles in the NFL.
Probably. Yep, I'm not going to argue.
Locking him up and keeping him on that side of the ball and not going to another team in the Chiefs division
on
and playing
against a team that has notable defensive issues, mind you.
Right. I mean,
not because of him.
That is a team that has defied the odds and actually won a Super Bowl by offense only. I mean, usually defense wins games, not that team.
I know a couple Chiefs fans personally, and it's annoying. Sorry. For one. I'm surprised they're still my friend. So that's noted. Shouts Tony. But what I would say is, like, you know, Andy Reid, he cannot help himself. He loves to tinker. He's an offensive minded guy. But if you could just score more slowly, especially when you have the lead, maybe you would win more Super Bowls, was always my argument. And then they finally sort of snuck one out anyway. But I still think, like, you need to have some defensive players for the Chiefs because they score so freaking fast, the defense is on the field the whole time. And that's an issue. And obviously Andy Reid doesn't care about it. So locking up your best defensive player while you still have money, because I think when that Mahomes contract really takes hold, this is going to become a problem, was really smart by them.
Wait, that's Andy Reid? I thought that was Wilford Brimley coaching them.
Same guy. Yeah, same guy. Yeah, right. Cocoon. He swims in the pool, man. He eats his oatmeal and he swims in the pool.
Well, the funny thing about this Chris Jones deal, before anybody knew what was going on, TMZ found a liquor store in the Kansas City area. And one of the clerks actually broke the story, saying that an employee of the Kansas City Chiefs came in with looking for 6 bottles of Dom Perignon. And the person who works for the Chiefs told the clerk, big thing going down.
This would never happen with the Patriots. I just want to note that this would never happen with the Patriots.
No.
That would have a scandal about it, but we wouldn't break the story that way.
Patriots signed Cam Newton. Yeah.
So this is the Patriot way versus the Andy Reid way, the Chiefs way, the barbecue way, DC barbecue way?
Hollywood South, I guess. I don't know.
All right, let's talk about a couple other folks because, again, assuming we're pretending the NFL season is going to be normal, we still have some notable free agents out there. What are your thoughts on Clowney, where he lands? Because I know as a homer, I know where I want him to land.
Well, of course, we want him to land here in New England and play for the Patriots. Basically, one of the top defensive teams of the last 2 decades. When you think about it as a whole, not even
some of the best defenses,
but
and smart game planning, obviously.
Yeah. So obviously we would take him here, but he's a guy that's looking for like 20 mil a year. I mean, he's going to be the Dungy Dungies.
I think he still thinks he's like the number one, number two. It was number two, right? Draft pick. I don't know that he's played up to that, but he's still a very good player and would be great on our team.
Well, as far as like rookie cards go, or you know, this rookie cards that you keep, this rookie cards you toss, a lot of his rookie cards ended up as fireplace fodder for me. So.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. Now, some of it was circumstance. We obviously know that the Houston Texans aren't the most well-run franchise of all time. So not entirely his fault, but still, I was expecting him to have a little more fire off the first step and a little more anger out there on the field. And I think he played a little softer than I thought he would, especially when you consider he played next to J.J. Watt for a while. Exactly. But I still think he's a really valuable player.
I mean, that team would be completely dangerous.
I remember drafting them high in fantasy football, thinking they would just dominate and get a ton of sacks, and it just did not work out that way.
No. But here's a couple of places that he may end up landing. Seattle with the Seahawks.
I wouldn't like to see it because I hate Seattle, but sure. Smart for them. I did hear
that the Seahawks may have to change the name because it's offensive to birds.
The Washington football team, about time.
All right. And the other place he could end up would be Tennessee Titans playing for.
I heard this. Man, again, like, I don't know about you, but like Tennessee, even with crappy Ryan Tannehill, they make me nervous. Are they like a budding dynasty? Is that just because that's a well-run franchise and they're making some smart decisions aside from the Tannehill contract that I didn't love?
That is a dangerous team.
Yeah.
Even though the Titans might have to change the name because it's offensive to midgets or dwarves.
Greek gods.
Gods.
Or Romans too. I don't want to cancel him out.
So he could end up there, but like I said, he's looking for one and done's 20 mil a year.
Yeah, I think it's too much. I think it's too much for the Patriots. I don't know if the Seahawks will pay that. I will say the Seahawks need a receiver, and let me give you a list of the baggage that comes with this group of receivers here. Josh Gordon, yay or nay for the Seahawks?
Nay, he should go play for the Mean Machine.
He should go to The Floor is Lava on Netflix. He would crush that show. How about Michael Gallup? I'd like him for the Patriots, but that's one that's out there. Tall receiver, catch on the outside a little bit, underachieved so far.
Yeah, lesser known, hasn't really played up to his potential.
Won't cost as much.
No.
And then, of course, my favorite Twitter star and probably favorite future TikTok star, Antonio Brown. Where's he going?
He goes to the UFC and he starts fighting in an octagon.
Him and Conor McGregor. It's going to be amazing television.
He only fights Amazon delivery men.
Okay. Him and Floyd Mayweather. I mean, let's do boxing with kicks.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let me ask you one more, because I was intrigued by this because you know I hate Sony Michel because he can't catch. Le'Veon Bell kicking the tires on a trade from the Jets. The Jets want to shed the contract, he's out there. Would the Patriots make a deal like that? Is he going to go somewhere else? Where does he fit in? He'd be great on the Tampa Bay Bucks. I don't know if they can afford it.
Le'Veon Bell needs an attitude adjustment. So
he still has a couple years of football. I really feel like he's got a couple left.
He might, but like I said,
he needs an attitude adjustment. He plays for the Jets. You're not going to get your attitude adjusted there. It's fucking New York.
Please, come on. Let's just look at who the Jets have drafted over the years.
Yeah, well,
I mean, they had a big draft and a quarterback so bad I forgot his name. Mark Sanchez.
He's so mediocre. Only Mitch Trubisky makes him look good.
All right.
J-E-T-S. Can we talk about Bridget Moynihan and how she her name choices for her kids? Or we have to talk about that a different time?
A different time. We'll do that in all Hollywood versus sports.
She might need to be in our Usual Suspects reboot.
You know what? Hey, that might be a good idea. We can get her in.
She's a good actress. I always liked her. iRobot. Underrated performance.
So speaking of you know, sports in general, we're anxiously awaiting our beloved professional sports to come back. But wouldn't it be fun to put together a dream team of Major League Baseball players that we think that if we were owners and we had this team, these players
would be I didn't want to admit this on a successful podcast of our own here, out in the ether of the series of tubes known as the internet, but I have a fantasy baseball draft on Sunday, despite all my better judgment. So I'll be doing that, even though it probably means nothing and the team will never play. But yeah, I think in lieu of anything else, I would love to do a legacy team. So how do we do it? We go one for one, or is it, like, give me the rules. Is it like, can I put Babe Ruth on my team, or do I have to have seen this person play or something?
No, I'm going to go with who we've seen play. I'm not necessarily saying we've seen them play live in the stadium, but we've seen them play in their career. And, you know, I'm 51 years old, so I've seen a lot.
I know. I was going to say, I know you love when I point out that you're older than me, so your breadth of players is bigger than mine.
Well, that's because I'm your uncle, and I should be older than you if I was younger than you.
Shout out to Uncle Bobby. Golf club above ground pool. Noted.
Got that right.
All right, so let's go. So you go first. Let's do pitching first, and then we'll ease into the diamond.
Okay. Hands down, I want this guy as one of my starting pitchers.
I know who you're going to pick. You're going to steal mine.
Nolan Ryan.
Oh, Nolan Ryan. Okay, so he counts for me. That's in my lifetime, so I'm going to give you Nolan. That's a no-brainer. Good. Okay, so that helps me because mine's a no-brainer. It's Pedro. You know, even though he didn't get 300 wins, yeah, Pedro's a no-brainer. For one game, that's the guy.
I got one other pitcher.
All right, let's see if we agree.
We got two righties. We need a lefty.
Yeah, you probably need a lefty.
Randy Johnson.
I have him on my list. You can't see it. It's really small writing, but he's on there. So, boom. Now, I thought Clemens and Maddox would have been the other two, but you threw out Nolan Ryan. I was a little bit young toward the end of his, but I did get to watch one of his no-hitters. So, I think that works out. That's a dominant. With one lefty, that's a dominant rotation there. So, we got to pick a closer, at least one closer. It pains me to say it, but I know who mine is.
It pained me to put his name down, too, but you got to love it because – the Fenway faithful showed him so much respect in his retirement season.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so.
Because
classy. Who says Boston people aren't classy?
That's right.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's right. We're not Philadelphia. We don't throw snowballs at Santa Claus.
We just point out when you suck. I don't think that's our problem, man. That's your problem.
Right. So, Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, he's on the list. That's a no-brainer. Yeah. All right. Well, that was an easy segment. I didn't think the pitching was easy. Now I think it's going to get more complicated. Let's go catcher third. We'll go around the horn sort of counterclockwise. So who's your catcher? We might argue about this one.
Okay. I had two catchers because every team needs two catchers.
Okay. We're doing two. That helps me out.
Okay. My first catcher that I picked was Mike Piazza.
Oh, you picked Mike Piazza. Wow.
Yep.
I don't hate it, and he did not make my list. So allowing Mike Piazza, then I'll pick my guy. I pick Pudge Rodriguez because I like a little bit of defense there, and he was noted for being great with the pitchers.
If you look at my card, Ivan Rodriguez's name was scratched out.
Oh, you took him off. For who?
I took him off
for because
I had one other guy that I wanted to be a catcher on the team. We all love him. We love him here for punching someone in the face.
It was a great moment. One of the greatest moments of my life. My wedding, Veritek punch.
Yeah. I wanted a catcher that was like, you know, the man.
Yeah.
Jason Veritek.
I don't know why he's not a baseball manager yet. He needs to be a baseball manager. He probably should be the manager over our current manager, who I can't complain about yet because he hasn't managed a game, even though he probably was part of a weird scandal of some sort, whether with us or his former team. That said, I can't argue with Veritek. I would still choose Pudge because if you remember there, Pudge had a good like 4.5 year, maybe where he was on steroids. We're not really sure, where he also had that offensive push. Veritek had a couple reasonably good offensive seasons, but never had like that one crazy good catcher year.
But I went with him for defense only and for calling a game. I mean,
calling a game. Absolutely.
There's more than just the bat when it comes to the catcher. I mean, that's the one position I'll let slide as far as.
Special shouts to Doug Mirabelli.
catching old Wakefield. Getting brought.
Pick him up at the airport. I'll always pick Doug up at the airport. Always.
Exactly.
All right, so third base. Who do you got?
Third base? Okay. I was like, I contemplated this for a while because when this guy first started, he was like five tool all the way. 30-30 guy. And then
I'm not gonna lie.
I originally wanted to pick A-Rod. I originally wanted to pick
that's where you're going. Okay.
Okay. But then, of course, you know, I saw a documentary a few weeks ago, and you know,
he's an asshole.
One thing led to another, and and he broke my heart by
dates J-Lo.
Engaged to Jennifer Lopez, and you know.
Why does he get to call games? He's not great at it. I don't know why people love that. And B, he should be blackballed from the game. I don't get it.
I don't know. he wears shoes. He's not shoeless. I don't know.
I don't know. I guess.
Okay, so I went with a Rockies player. He's playing now. Yep.
I'm surprised you went Arenado. That is surprising.
Numbers are steady.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to shock you because I'm going to disagree on that one. I do not have Arenado on there. I don't think the breadth of his career, plus he plays in Colorado. So are the numbers skewed there? It kind of matters. I took Cal Ripken Jr. I mean, I couldn't stop myself. Okay. The numbers, we can argue some numbers, but, you know, Beltre, Aroyd, there are people with better numbers, but I'm telling you, Cal Ripken Jr. in a game that I need to win, that's the guy I want out there. Plus leadership, because this is going to be a group of alphas, and somebody's got to rein him in. That's Cal.
So you don't remember that Cal Ripken Jr. played shortstop, right?
He played third base. I'm not putting him at shortstop. He played third base toward the end of his career, and I'm a younger man, and I'm going to go with that.
Because I had Cal Ripken at shortstop for me.
Okay. I think it's interchangeable. I think we got to play with the rules here, especially when we get to the outfield. As long as he's on my team, I'll allow it there. So if that's the case, because I hate Aroyd so much and I think Arenado's a little bit young, it sounds weird, and I know his season with the Red Sox wasn't super great, although solid. I like Beltre. Beltre was a great defensive third baseman during my lifetime. Very consistent, had a lot of good offensive years. He's crazy, and you can't touch his hair, but I like Beltre.
I mean, if I was going to go all time, I would have picked Mike Schmidt, hands down.
Schmidt.
I did see Mike Schmidt play.
It's just a touch before my time.
Everything's a touch before your time. But I had Ripken on my team, but I had Ripken as my second shortstop because of the controversy of having to go and play third.
Yeah. He got benched for what crappy player? Billy Ripken or somebody really shitty? I forget.
You know, he was a bat. Fuckface bat.
Todd Phillips? I don't know who it was. Some guy who they thought was going to be amazing and turned out to suck. But either way, it was better for Cal because it extended his career a tiny bit longer.
All right. So you're third. Let's go with shortstop.
All right, shortstop for me, and I want you to go first because you're going to make fun of mine.
Derek Jeter. There's no other.
Come on, Derek Jeter. Come on, Jeter.
I know you're going to pick Jeter.
Do you get a gift basket when you wake up in the morning at his mansion, or how does that work?
I have part 0.3% ownership in one of his teams.
You're mad about J-Lo, Minka Kelly. I mean, come on. If there's a lot to be mad about with Derek Jeter. Besides, he owns the Marlins, who nobody likes to watch play baseball ever, which is embarrassing. The Marlins should move to Cleveland. That's how ironic that is.
Oh, jeez. All right, who do you have?
As much as I respect him, I can't do the, hold on, let me get ready for 5 minutes before I take my at-bat here every single time. Baseball's long enough as it is. So I won't do it. I'm going to take a guy who probably took steroids, but had a .323 lifetime batting average, I think, a couple batting titles in there, was on the list for MVP a couple times, never quite won one, and got a World Series ring kind of on the back end. I know he didn't go to the top step and charge the Yankees like he should have, but Nomar. I mean, he's my favorite player of all time. I have to choose him. I think he was great, and he was actually underrated early in his career defensively.
You're picking him because of that greased up, no shirt, chest cover thing that he did, aren't you?
You guys can't see it on News Channel 8. It's on my wall. I look at it every day before I go to sleep. and it's below the body. I edited it so he's a minotaur now. Now, there are probably better shortstops out there, but a lot of shortstops actually went and played other positions. Like Miguel Tejada in my lifetime had some really great numbers. I don't think he was ever a superstar defensively. And then Aroyd, you know, also like Ripken, obviously played shortstop for a number of years. Hard to deny that. But for me, I'm a batting average guy, especially middle infield, and the way I want to construct a lineup top to bottom. I want a guy who gets on base. I want a guy who hits singles too. And Nomar had 20 home run power and was really consistent. I like him.
Okay, well, that's your dream. That's your dream team.
So second base.
We'll sign him. Yeah. Second base.
I'm going first. Who goes first? Second base? I'll go first. All right. Second base. I'll take this one. Okay. So now I start to look like the homer, which I hate to look like. Because, again, despite what we think of him now, he's been injured for some time. I like Petey. I'm a Petey guy. And I think Pedroia, because he's feisty. Again, I care about what the dugout looks like. I care about people high-fiving. I want somebody yelling at somebody when they strike out and take a bad pitch on a called third strike. I want somebody with a little fire. And he's actually a really good double play guy. So Pedro to Nomar, I'm all for it. He's got an MVP in his pocket. He deserves the credit. He's my second baseman for me.
So you're going to take Petey.
I'll take Pete. I know it's controversial. I'm taking him anyway.
Dustin Pedroia. You know, laser show. Yes, the guy.
In my fake MLB The 20 season, my video game season, he's batting 333. So there you have it.
Okay. So you're going with the guy who basically has been, I think, one of the few people that has won an MVP in a rookie of the year in the same year.
At that position, too, which is crazy.
Exactly. Okay, I had Pedroia as well. Like I said, I always like to have a backup player.
Okay.
I went a little bit older.
Okay.
Ryan Sandberg.
Yeah, Sandberg. Now, technically, I saw him play, and he was very consistent, too. Didn't make for a great manager. But, yeah, I can't argue Ryan Sandberg. Obviously, the breadth of his career was fantastic. Yeah, I won't argue it. I think, you know, I don't think there's actually that much of a difference. Both had a lot of fire and both played the game in the same way. Advancing runners, feisty, singles, doubles, opposite field. I like them both. So give me first base. First base is really tough. It's
first
tough,
base,
man.
I didn't care. I picked the guys that I liked.
Yeah.
Okay. First base. I call this my gin and juice. I got two guys.
All right.
Frank Thomas.
Yeah, the big hurt. Yep. Great testosterone commercials.
That's the gin part of it. Okay. The juice part is Mark McGwire.
Oh, you took Marky Mark. Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't a great defender. Okay, so I'm not going to argue with Frank Thomas, the big hurt. Underrated. I remember his rookie card was such a hot commodity for a while. I'm going to go a little bit more defensive, but still obviously great defensive numbers. Should have been a Red Sox his whole career, but it didn't work out. Mr. Jeff Bagwell.
He never even got a call up to the big show at Fenway. So
yeah, that's how great our team was managed back then.
Jeff Bagwell, good choice. Good choice.
He could pick up the ball on these hot shots to first better than almost anybody I'd seen in my lifetime. He had great instincts. He was a big guy, but he moved so well for a big guy, especially early on in his career.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Outfield.
This is tough, man. It's hard, and I hate my choices, but I can't not pick them.
I'm going to give you my outfield, all three guys.
All right. Give it to me.
Okay. Ricky Henderson.
Oh, you took Ricky.
Ricky Henderson. The greatest all-time leadoff hitter in the history of baseball, Ricky Henderson. Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, he's on there. I'm not going to argue with that one.
And I cannot.
If somebody's going to argue with that one, please email East to West with Nick and Rob, and we'll delete your email.
Yeah. East to West with Nick and Rob at gmail.com. Email us if you disagree.
Nick and Rob at gmail.com.
And I cannot not have this guy on my team.
Oh, this makes me nervous.
I'm not going to say Dwight Evans. I mean, Dewey was the name, but
I know how much you love Dewey.
Mike Trout got to be there.
Oh, you're taking Mike. All right. Okay, so I have Trout on mine too, but I sort of don't feel great about it because I want to take Mookie. Again, I'll hold him to the same Arenado rule as breadth of career isn't quite there yet, so I won't pick Mookie. But I've got Griffey, I've got Trout. My last guy, I'm sorry, man, I can't not do it. It's Mr. Barry Bonds. I'm home run king.
I completely forgot he played outfield.
He was a great, he was also like a 30-30-40-40 guy and a multiple MVP winner. I can't not pick him. He was so good. He was actually an underrated defender. I think he won 8 gold gloves. So Griffey probably a little bit better defensively, but Barry Bonds not too far behind. If your outfield is Trout, Bonds, Griffey in their primes, forget steroids. We'll cover that later. You're crushing fantasy baseball. Crushing it.
All right. I'll give you Barry Bonds. You're in the clear with that one. Sure. So I'll give you Barry Bonds. You know, clearly your choice, Nick, to put it in your outfield.
Listen, we're not here to talk about the past. I defend it. If Marky Mark can do it, Barry gets to do it too, all right?
All right, one more person. There is no other.
Yes.
Designated hitter.
That's it. It's not negotiable.
It's not negotiable.
Wicked smart.
I didn't know you could buck there. That guy bucks really hard.
You can't stop him with bullets, even. Forget baseballs. No.
Big Poppy is the greatest
DH of all time. Can we just settle this debate now, Mr. Edgar Martinez? This is not a conversation. The greatest designated hitter of all time is Big Poppy. I'm sorry.
Big Poppy, bar none.
All right. Mike, that's a great list. So we've got Griffey, Trout, Bonds, with possibly Ricky as the number four. You've got, you know, Cal, Arenado, depending on the debate there of third base. Who you want shortstop to be? Who's your starter? Is it Nomar or is Nomar on the bench? You can put Nomar on the bench. I won't take it personally.
Yeah, Jeter wasn't hurt that much.
I hate that. Nomar was a better pure player than Jeter. It's just the length of the career didn't work out. But all right, I'm going to give it to you. Petey's our second baseman.
Yeah, Petey would be the second in his prime. In his prime.
Yeah, in his prime, Sandberg comes off the bench. I agree. Who starts at first? Probably Frank.
Yeah, I'd go with the big hurt at first.
Okay, I'm going to give you this one because I respect you as an uncle. I'll give you Mike Piazza as the starter, but he gets pulled for defensive reasons, like in the seventh every game.
Okay, I'll go with that. And I know you don't like it. Tommy Lasorda, but that's okay.
We still care about defense on this team. We will go with Nolan for game one, Randy for game two, Pedro for game three.
Works for me.
All right, there it is, and Mariano closes it out. I like that's that. It. That's a great fantasy squad.
If we happen to be tied in the bottom of the ninth as the home team, Big Poppy's at the plate. Speaking of which, Nick, I have the official list of starting days for professional sports.
I'm taking a deep COVID breath and give me the numbers. Let's see what the plan is, because I'm not sure the plan is going to work out, but go ahead.
The NBA is starting on the 30th of July.
That feels really soon. Really soon.
That's the day they picked.
And what state is that occurring in, just for the record?
Florida.
Oh, great. And that, nothing, no problems in Florida.
No problems at all.
Okay.
In the clear.
In the clear, as usual. Yep. Balco reopened. Everything's good.
Major League Baseball.
Okay.
July 23rd, 24th, 23rd, 24th, whatever.
Yeah. Major League Baseball has messed up opening day for I don't know how long now. They don't know how to market their own sport because the guy who runs the sport doesn't like the sport. We have noted that. I also think that is in question. Maybe it's going to crank up, but the odds that it stops pretty shortly thereafter is very high for me.
Well, they have new uniforms for all the teams. They're all going to be in hazmat suits with the insignia on them, wearing like beekeeper helmets. And so they're going to look like
they're going to wear the same things that those like private military people in Oregon that break up protesters are wearing now.
Right, exactly. And this is the weirdest one, because you would never think this. The startup date for the NHL is August 1st.
Oh, it's perfect. For a winter sport, nailed it.
Yeah. They'll be playing water polo.
You know what? It's funny. It's funny to say it out loud, but because of the NBA being in Florida specifically, although I think they have a much better commissioner, and I think they've really thought things through, you know, to the best of their ability. Obviously, there's variables. I think the NHL has the best chance to succeed. I'm not sure exactly why I think that. I think it's a little bit culture. It's a little bit Gary Bettman. It's a little bit how they organize that season. If one's going to make it to the end, I almost think it's the NHL. I'm not. Do you agree with that? Am I off on that?
I don't know. Does the cold ice kill the COVID. I don't know.
I think it's just they're just so tough. That whole thing is just crazy.
It could be.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for our sports segment. Be right back in a few seconds.
And we're back.
We're back. What's next, Nick?
All right, so we got to do a food segment, right? We can't do East to West with Nick and Rob without a food segment. I like the idea of late night midnight snacks. Since we're all trapped in the house, we're binge watching Netflix constantly. What's the one that you visit at like midnight or later? What's your go-to when you open that fridge door?
Okay, if you have a loaf of bread, some mayonnaise, some American cheese or some cheddar, a frying pan, and you're not too drunk, my go-to, even if I was drunk, I would still make it. My go-to, though, is going to be a grilled cheese sandwich.
Wait, mayonnaise on a grilled cheese sandwich? Is that right?
Well, I put it on the outside, so when you grill it, it toasts it a little bit. It gives it a little flavor. Because sometimes butter burns. I mean, butter is, don't get me wrong, butter's great.
Mayonnaise, that's a great tagline for the episode. Sometimes butter burns.
Sometimes butter burns and mayo is great.
I'm taking notes on that one. I'm going to try that. Maybe tonight.
You know what else? And I mentioned if you're not too drunk, sometimes people with a knife and a stick of butter, not a good idea when they're drunk. So
I think I've been down that road before. Yeah. If it's real butter, it's a little bit harder to cut than people realize than margarine or something. And mistakes can be made.
Exactly. So
we're not here to talk about the past, but yeah, mistakes can be made.
For the protection of our fingers, the mayonnaise.
You don't want to turn the lights on at night because you don't want to wake up your spouse or whatever. So there are issues there too. You turn the microwave light on instead of the kitchen light, you know. So there's issues.
Oh, I have night vision goggles that I use. So.
Just like the guy from what's that guy, Wild Bill from Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah, exactly. He puts the mayo on the bread.
All right. Well, okay. So for me, it's kind of embarrassed. My midnight snacks, if I want to be honest about it, are pretty crappy. Next to the bed, I generally have Sour Patch Kids or Swedish Fish, and I apologize to America for that. If I get out of the bed and I go downstairs, if I'm dieting or attempting to lose weight, I'm always going for pickles and olives. Now, I do have 50% Greek in me, so it's somewhat defensible. I get the little snack pickles usually, or like a variety of different olives, because that's just how I roll. If I'm not dieting, I will go 2 pieces of bread, Genoa salami, squirt of French's or Dijon, right back in the sack.
Grey Poupon, pardon me, do you have any Grey Poupon?
I can't help it. I mean, I've been doing it for years. It's hard for me to deny it. Yeah, okay. Would I like to fire up the grill or the oven and grill a nice sandwich? Yeah, but I'm half asleep. I don't have it in me.
I would just do it. It doesn't matter regardless. I'm not going to take that long. But you know what? Olives and pickles? Good snack.
They're kind of underrated. I mean, chips. I mean, everybody's got chips. I probably have hit the bag of chips here and there. But I like my chips with dip a lot or chips and salsa. So I don't always want to make that effort. Salt and vinegar, like Pringles or something, I might go to. But actually, like I said, if you have a variety of olives, they can be a little bit pricey sometimes. You have a variety of choices when you open the fridge. You can stick your fingers in there, forget the fork, you know, just rinse them off after, and you're good. You're right back to bed. Plus, it's like a zero or net zero carb snack.
Okay, good snack for nighttime, a little quick get rid of the craving in the stomach. Eat it, back to bed, wipe your hands. Not a good snack when you're driving because you're trying to eat olives and you get them all over the steering wheel and you might drop an olive and...
I have one of those cup holders where the olive jar tips just a little bit my way, so it's accessible, but it's custom, so it's expensive.
You need a shooter or like a shooter, or like hit a button and the olive pops.
How much does that cost? I'm investing.
Olive shooter. All right, so I'm going with a grilled cheese, and if I want to get really fancy and I do want to risk the knife, I'll put some tomato on it.
Yeah, I do like that. With a little basil, what do you put for a spice? Oregano? You put anything on there?
A grilled cheese is a grilled cheese is a grilled cheese.
Gotcha.
Tomato would be the only thing I would add a little extra.
Don't overthink it.
But once you start adding other things, it's not a grilled cheese anymore. It becomes a panini. I mean, the spices are fine. I mean, if you want some basil in there, that's good. The cheese kind of hides it, but you got to do what you got to do.
You got to survive, man. These are tough times. All right, well, I stand by it. I say pickles, I say olives, and then if you're going to do Swedish fish next to the bed so you don't have to get out of the covers, don't kid yourself. Don't go with the mini ones. Go with the full-size fish.
Have you ever been so drunk that you've eaten all of those items at the same time?
Oh, I'm sure I have. I'm sure I have. I don't even have to be too drunk for that. That's like one scotch drunk for that.
You wake up, you got a Swedish fish hanging off, an incisor, an olive up your nose.
See, the olive and the pickle gives you that little weird, like, vinegary taste in your mouth. You got to crush that. You crush that with a Swedish fish. That's how you roll.
It's the umami. You got the spicy, sweet, salty, you know, umami.
Two fish, snack, pickle, olive, sandwich. I mean, come on, just give it a chance before you knock it.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, Swedish fish on your bread with some Dijon mustard, salami, and potato chips for crunch.
A tomato, obviously, if you can cut it.
And some cheese with a little mayo on the outside.
All right, I'll allow it. I think we helped America there. You're welcome.
People are like, what the fuck are these two talking about?
I said Cal Ripken was a third baseman, so they should already know by now.
Cal Ripken was not a third baseman. He was the
younger. All right. It protected his career. I wanted to see him play longer.
Well, what do you think Danica Patrick and Aaron Rodgers
I gotta tell you, Rob, oh my God, this was rough for me. I had a rough day at work. I come home. I generally click on ESPN or ESPN's my home screen a lot. And the stupid byline, the header was Danica Patrick and Aaron Rodgers, two jerk alphas, by the way, broke up. And I'm thinking to myself, like, who gives a shit? And where, what can I have sports back? Like, what is my life becoming? I don't care. But they're both jerks, even though one is much more attractive than the other.
Hi, Aaron. Again,
this is beneath you. I don't know why we have like five articles about this.
Because the world is so sports deprived, it's become the Kardashian network sports world.
It's exhausting. And by the way, below the Danica Patrick, Aaron Rodgers story was Eric Bledsoe and Russell Westbrook test positive for COVID. I don't know, man. I think the priorities here are all messed up.
You're right. This whole world is just gone. It's gone to plaid.
Have we all gone mad?
We've gone to plaid.
What do we got on this thing? Man. What the hell was that?
Hey, I got a recommendation. You feel like doing a recommendation?
Let's do a recommendation. Let's close her out. What do you got for us?
Okay.
Something other than Italian soccer.
Okay. On Hulu, there was Italian football. No, I'm sorry. On Hulu, movie came out called Palm Springs. Okay?
Palm Springs. Okay.
Palm Springs. Okay. It stars Andy Samberg and J.K. Simmons.
Okay? Oh, J.K. Simmons is in there? I did not know that. Oh, well, now you got my eyebrow raised.
Okay. This movie, the only way I can describe it as Groundhog Day meets Edge of Tomorrow meets Andy Samberg. That's the only way I can describe it. I have to say, it is the best thing I have ever seen Andy Samberg in. And believe me, other than his Saturday Night Live sketches he did with Justin Timberlake and all that.
Those were great. The Lonely Island Boys. They're unbelievable.
He does a lot of crap. I mean, some of his movies are so bad. I don't understand it. This is actually watchable, and I highly recommend it.
Okay, I will put that on the list. I will try to get that in before the next pod because a couple people have now told me about it, and I'm not, you know, I love Groundhog Day. Again, I don't want to retouch that movie, but if it's different enough, I'll give it a shot. And I love J.K. Simmons. I'll see anything that guy's in, period.
Exactly.
For me, I don't have a ton of stuff. I still am watching Perry Mason. We're four episodes in. It's not the show you think it is, and I still highly recommend it. For the true crime, I'm still watching I'll Be Gone in the Dark. It gets more disturbing every episode. So that's where I'm at with recommendations. I'll keep following that along. And I'm looking for something new. The Boys is coming back pretty soon. I think Marvel delayed Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I was somewhat looking forward to that. I'm starting to visit Disney Plus and realize there's not a ton of stuff there now that I've watched The Mandalorian and all rewatched all the Marvel movies. there was a trailer that piqued my interest. And it was a movie called Project Power. If you haven't seen the trailer yet, Netflix is kind of plugging it. It's a Jamie Foxx, Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie about a pill that gives you superpowers. And that's pretty much the tagline. I don't have to go too much further into it than that. I don't know if it's any good, but it looks interesting, and we're starving for movies, so I'll probably give that one a run when it comes out, I think, next month.
A pill that gives you superpowers. Kind of like The Boys.
Kind of like, what was that Bradley Cooper movie a couple of years ago? And then there was Limitless. And there was a Scarlett Johansson movie, Lucy, that was kind of the same realm. But this one, I think, really dives into like the superpower part more than those other ones, because more people have their hands on it. And and actually what it does is it gives every person has a specific power, and you don't know what that power is till you take the pill, which I think is kind of an interesting tagline. It's a little cheesy and Netflix spending way too much money on all this stuff, but still I sort of am intrigued by the trailer.
Well, if I had a superpower, my superpower would be the ability to pick the lottery numbers every day.
You would only need that once. That's a one and done. Once I win the lottery, I'm changing my name. I'm not talking to any of my family. Sorry, Uncle Bobby. And you'll never see me again. I'll send you some stuff, but you know, I'm not going to tell you where I am.
You know, they have tracking, right?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Me and Jeff Bezos, we're going to be hanging out.
I will find you.
You have a very particular set of skills.
I do.
All right, let's close it up. You know what? I just want to send shouts to everybody. Be safe. The numbers are crazy and scary. Hopefully next week, we're talking about some actual sports. There's a possibility that's going to happen.
Maybe. Who knows? Or we're watching cornhole versus ultimate frisbee versus Italian soccer.
Frisbee golf, cornhole.
I know that the MMA is back this week.
Sponsored by Pornhub. Next week.
MMA's back.
We'll take any sponsor. We don't care. Yeah. I mean, look, I actually saw, I don't know, has it been on the whole time and I just missed it? But I saw an episode of PTI the day before yesterday. That was kind of jarring. They didn't cover anything super great, but there was a PTI episode and I was sort of like, oh, maybe this is like some sense of normal coming back. Although it doesn't seem, like I said, I don't think any of it's going to work out, but I hope I'm wrong.
I don't know. Pardon the interruption, but we're going to interrupt your non-sports watching with people talking non-sports.
Number one on the list, Danica Patrick and Aaron Rodgers. What are your thoughts?
Oh, my God. People, wash your hands.
You wash your hands, yeah, for 20 seconds at least. You know, best advice is to go 35, 40, but 20 at least.
I know, man. Hey, as always, it's a great episode. Great talking to you. Peace.
Whoa!